folks. Let's go. I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission meeting to order for Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. Please, everybody, set your cell phones on stun, and let's say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Lanford, roll call, please.
Tom Flippy.
Here.
Tom Lesnicki. Absent. Anthony Grubnick. Absent. Derek Emmett. Absent. Dave Castellano.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Here. All right, moving right along. Next up is the approval of the minutes from October 10th, 2018, which were at the City Hall in Hobart. Is there any motions, modifications? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion to go ahead and accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Be there none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let them be out there forever. Excellent reading, by the way. Chairman's report, thank you all for coming as we get ready for the holidays. It's snowing, it's cold, all the leaves are down. But let's not forget that this is a $275 million man-made flood control project. Needs maintenance all the time. Concerted effort needs to be taken care of to the point where we make sure we do everything possible to make the September 2008 event something that we never have to experience again. If you want to know why we're here, what we do, and why we do it, that's why. They're the things that need to be done as it pertains to make sure that the design put together by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers does what it's supposed to do. It needs an ongoing event as it pertains to making sure that we stay on top of this. Again, it's all about Mother Nature. If we get 10 gallons of water in our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have some issues. However, we're far better prepared now than we were prior to September 2008 taking on that particular type of a situation. My diatribe isn't going to move anything forward, so next up is the finance report on approval of the claims for November 2018. Before we can talk about that, we need a motion. Anybody have any interest in paying the bills?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the claims in the amount of $1,173,126.33.
I second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Repe, do you remember when we had no money?
Yeah, sure do.
Me too.
Jody and I was just talking about that. But if you look at the claims, they're really broken down into probably just a handful of claims that make up that amount, and all are under contract. Starting with the largest one, which is for IHC Construction Companies, it's $435,993, which is the construction that is occurring over Deep River in Hobart. That's pay estimate two. Followed by, we have Wilcher removing the debris out of Deep River from Rand Street to Route 6, and then from Route 6 to Route 51, basically clearing from it just to the south of Old Ridge Road all the way to 51. You have our reimbursements that were a part of an agreement that we signed with these communities 2 years ago. We take care of the pump stations for the city of Gary, and we entered into agreement with the town of Highland and the Hammond Sanitary District to reimburse them for costs so long as they approve or they pass the inspection report, which we'll hear about later from Bill Rochford, as far as what we've done on the inspection reports. Town of Highland for $42,000, Hammond Sanitary District for $182,000. So those are the larger ones. We still have a couple more, which is the engineering for the Kennedy Avenue bridge. For the record, that's $91,420. The Kennedy Avenue bridge is being advertised currently in the paper as well as on our website, so anyone interested in wanting to or has the capability to build a bridge, those bids are out there and are due for our December 12th meeting, where we hope to award those. We purchased one other property in Lake Station for $12,921. That is one of the final ones. We have one missing parcel, and that is owned by the school city of Gary. And other than that, I'm trying to look quickly at sort of some of the larger ones that may be of interest. $9,264 for pump station inspections and maintenance issues from GLEM. And then we had some applied ecological services, which are the monitoring phases of both the sandbar, which is located just to the west of Kennedy Avenue, as well as the Grinder Nature Preserve, which is a project that we did last year, and we replanted, which is located just off of Liverpool in Hobart. So, anything else?
Okay, any questions for Mr. Repay on the bills? Either none, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Tracy?
Yes.
Derek Minnitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Ramon Whitaker?
Yes.
Woody Baker?
Yes. Dan, next up, Executive Director's report.
Sure. We'll just start with, I guess, my report that I put together. That's just some updates on some of the construction projects. You know, most of the construction projects are starting to wind down because of the weather that you spoke of. Harrison Street Bridge was a project that had been in delay mode because of some utility conflicts. Both permits have been received from both IDEM, the Corps, and DNR for their new utility process. NIPSCO is planning on being out there on the 28th of this month to start the work on moving those utilities, which then will allow Ellis Construction to begin the work again, or to resume their work out there to fix Harrison Street Bridge. The Clark Street grade adjustment, paving is complete. They were striping it today. They're going to finish probably striping it later on this week. We have to put up a guardrail in the northwest quadrant just because it was a little bit steeper than we thought, but that should be open by Thanksgiving. We had to do some grading on the outside just to make sure that the water was properly flowing off of the road and not creating an ice skating rink out there. So that's just some minor issues, but the road looks great. They did a good job out there. As I mentioned, Kennedy Avenue Bridge, it's out there. The plans are out there. If anyone's interested, they can call our office. We can send them the plans. We should have a set of plans in our office later. I think it's either tomorrow. They promised us the plans, but we can send them electronically to anyone that wishes to be a part of it. Already spoke of Hobart, Deep River. Natalie's going to talk about both mitigation projects that are ongoing, both the in project and the Hobart, and then Lake Station Levee. As I spoke about, you know, we have one parcel remaining, but we don't see that as a huge concern, although we were interviewing and have been interviewing the five outfits that were bidding to become the designer of that work. We've had some discussion. I was out for a week, so it was supposed to be tonight. We were supposed to sort of announce that, but it's going to be delayed a little bit, hopefully by Thanksgiving. We will have you know, all the information to you guys, and so we can present a recommendation to you as to what to do or what we recommend to do going forward. So we've met with the county and the town of Munster regarding Hart's Ditch. We're still trying to get some financial numbers together, and Burke has put together a preliminary plan as to how to attack Hart's Ditch. And so once we can figure out the money, we hope to begin some work possibly in 2019, depending on how much of a commitment we get. So with that, that's really the gist of where we're sitting. I have a meeting tomorrow with the county regarding parcels that are up for sale from the commissioner's office that may be of interest to us. And so that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
All right, any questions for Mr. Repay?
I got a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Did we require an additional mow across the levee, or are we just a standard?
Yeah, we're good. We only had four mows this year, or four mowings, for the major levee. We normally do five. It just depends on how the season hits, but this year we're at four. The last cut was mid-October. Was finished, and so since it got so cold, everything sort of just stopped, and we'll just hit it, take it back up in the spring, I guess.
Okay. That was all, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Good enough. Pretty easy. All right, moving right along. Update from the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Ms. Mills, Mr. Rochford, you both can come up.
What would you like to talk about?
I did my part, so.
I'm going to let Bill go.
I'm here at the.
See if that's on, please, and tell everybody. You haven't visited us in a while, Bill, so maybe reintroduce yourself.
Good evening. Bill Rochford, Corps of Engineers. I'm the Levee Safety Program Manager for the Corps. I'm here at the Dan's request to answer questions about the recent inspections. So any questions you may have?
Oh, I have a question. So evidently there's been some changes as far as how the inspections have been done. Can you allude to what's been different? Now, just for everybody's edification, the Corps comes out every year to inspect the federal project to make sure it meets all of their specifications. And that certification is critical because the most important thing, at least in my opinion, is that by having that pass, that inspection, it allows the majority of property owners, specifically homeowners, not to have to pay mandatory flood insurance as a part of their mortgage. So how did we do, by the way?
Okay, we completed all our inspections for the entire project, and there's quite a lot to be inspected, certainly, on this project. In general, all the features that you are responsible for are considered active in our inspection program, which means they meet our minimum requirements. The most significant feature that's related to the federal project is with Marshalltown. Marshalltown has had some progressive settlement that's been occurring that is now, the top of the levee is now below the design elevation of the project. And so at this point, it needs to have some treatment done to it to reestablish the top of the levee to its design level. The changes you're referring to are what the Corps has been implementing nationwide is looking at what's called non-project segments that the federal projects are connecting into. These features consist of like railroads, highway embankments, and other things that the federal project connected to and relied on as providing some of the flood defense for the area behind the levees. And so this year, the Corps funded the various districts to go out and inspect these features that these projects are tied into. And that was included in the report for you for this year. Our findings on those are generally, one was the Borman Avenue Expressway over in Munster. We're tied into it on both sides. And that feature is found to be in good shape, as we all hope, because it's the interstate up there. Other features that we have are the Griffith River Road Levee, which is the town of Griffith that was inspected originally back in 2008, I believe, and was found to be unacceptable. We re-inspected it this year, and it is still considered unacceptable. The Burr Street Levee ties into that on the east end. Other features are the Martin Luther King Drive, Gary and Gary Railroad tieback, and the NDOT intersection at I-65, I-80-294 in the Gary levee system. And all those were inspected and found to be unacceptable, primarily due to vegetation issues where we cannot inspect effectively all the things we need to be looking at. Some other features included on the NDOT interchange, some flap gates and sluice gates which were not operating properly.
So, Mr. Rochford, if I'm sitting out there for the first time and I haven't come to the meetings ever and just listened to that, it sounds like there's a numerous amounts of the project that don't meet the specifications, even though they haven't been inspected before and are not part of the federal parameters of the project to which we're responsible. Is that a safe assessment?
Yeah, these features are not part of the federal project, and so there was no prior information available to the commission on maintenance requirement for these areas and features. So this was, like I said, an initiative based on the experience that the Corps has had as we've gone through a nationwide evaluation of our levees and finding that these features exist and they have a significant impact on the potential for flooding to the areas that are protected by the federal levees.
So as a part of this new initiative by the Corps, are they going to be updating their inspection manuals for all the different segments to include these types of issues?
These features are being identified and recognized in the National Levy Database, which is available to all as a public site. And so these features are identified on those on their mm-hmm. website.
Because you have those cool booklets. Are you going to update those cool booklets?
We are, and we have. We are about ready to issue a new edition to Dan and the communities this coming fall, before the end of the calendar year, yes.
Cool. All right, anybody else have any questions?
Are these? I'm new to the commission, just about 8 months, 9 months. Are these inspections a yearly inspection?
Yes, we conduct our routine inspections, which is what your ratings are based on an annual basis. We conduct what's called a periodic inspection on a five-year cycle. That doesn't change how the rating works on your annual inspections, but we look into, in addition to the physical inspection of the levees and looking at your maintenance, we look at the design and seeing if criteria has changed, which would affect the quality of the levee based on from when it was originally designed. Also, the performance history over the last 5 years, so to speak, from flooding events and how it performed, any other changes to the levee system that would help you identify flood risk, which is beyond just a normal routine of operations and maintenance.
The question, on these unacceptable designs, is there a certain period of time that we're supposed to correct these, or with you together?
The ones that are listed unacceptable are primarily related to the non-product segments, and those you do not have a responsibility to address in the eyes of the Corps. This is on from your perspective, understanding, looking into details, and most of them are related to vegetation that we couldn't inspect to see if there's any further concerns that we might have with those features. The one that the Commission is responsible for is for Marshalltown. It is currently listed as unacceptable, and there's, as I mentioned, the levee crest has sunk below the design elevation. It is still active in our insurance policy, Public Law 8499 policy. So the expectation is, yes, it would be addressed in a timely fashion. 2 years is a generally recognized time for the
project. Hey, Bill?
Yes, sir.
I mean, all of this is on a one-page letter. Is there a reason why they didn't address the levy part of this as one letter and then an additional letter that said, Little Calumet River levees, non-project segments. Why didn't they just address it completely separate?
I'm responsible for drafting letters, so it falls on mine if it was not communicated effectively in that regards. We tried to express in this letter, this is just our annual mm-hmm. inspection findings, and let you know this is these additional features. I believe we pointed out in the letter that this is just for your information. No action is required of you for these features.
Uh-huh.
But it could have gone in single letter, separate letter. Didn't appreciate the impact it might have had on the commission.
May I point out the board over there? So, Dan, do me a favor with regards to the one part that he talked about that is a part of the parameters, which is Marshalltown. Explain what's happening with that, please.
Well, I was going to ask Bill if you could. I mean, when you say crest is dip below, I mean, what's the segment? I mean, I think I know the dimensions, but it's not the entire crest. There's just a small area that has a dip in it when you did
there's,
the survey.
Yeah, there's two areas. We had it resurveyed recently, and also from our inspections, it's noticeably dropped. One part is at a culvert that penetrates the levee near the pump station. That's relatively short and extent. A little bit longer stretch is to the east end of the Marshalltown levee, which had, I forget the dimensions, but it's a couple hundred feet, I think.
I thought it was 150, but...
So
their corrective action is when we come back and we already are starting to design the Marshalltown levee, what we're going to do is build it back up again. You know, what...
Because we're paving it, right?
Right, but we're going to build it up. But the thing that concerns us was that one section that wasn't by a culvert, because there really was no... cause. We thought initially the one underneath the culvert was there was some sediment
right.
going through the pipe, or the pipe had broke, and that caused it. But when we inspected the pipe didn't indicate anything of a failure. So we're going to have to go over that and just constantly watch it. And then the other segment is another one where there are no utilities, at least that I'm aware of, that are in that area. So we're not sure why that area is sunk more than the others, and that's why they build into that excess construction to build it up for some. Sometimes it does, I guess, settle.
So yes, to add what Dan was saying, the two areas, the one by the culvert was an urgent concern, and we asked Dan to go out and have that camera inspected right away, and he did. Appreciate that, because if it was a failure of the culvert itself, which was causing that the loss of material, that would have been an urgent issue that we would just put that as a, you have to do this now type of an issue. The other area is most likely related to soft ground that's in that area, and just over time, the ground's continued to compress.
Oh, that we live on a swamp?
That's correct.
Okay.
And the ground is continuing to compress, and as such, there wasn't an adequate overbuild, so to speak, to address the amount of settlement that has occurred over there. So it's not an urgent issue. It's just a matter of the compress is now lower than it's designed to, so it needs to be brought back up.
But what our fix is, we have already started the process before this season came out, and we're going to repave it. So by the time you guys come out in June again, this will all be dealt with.
Understood. Any other questions for Bill?
I got a question for you, Bill.
Yes.
One of the questions I have is, do you foresee in the future these things becoming, these non-project segment items becoming part of a project, and a federal project in the future, as far as the requirements
that would be up to the commission, as they would like to engage the Corps, if they would like to try and work that in as part of recognizing those as part of the federal project. So that would have to become a real estate agreement, and Natalie better communicate if there's a path forward on that side of it. In the meantime, we will look at these features on our periodic inspection cycle, which is every 5 years, and we'll reinspect those features as part of that more detailed inspection process we have.
Every 5 years?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mrs. Mills, nice to see you.
Well, thank you. Good evening. Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I'm going to give you guys an update on what's happening on Hobart in project mitigation. As far as in project mitigation, they are pretty much wrapped up for the year. Last 2 weeks, they planted some oak trees, and so they're not returning to the site again until the December time frame once the ground freezes, and they're going to do some hazard tree removal work. Hobart Marsh, they're still kicking along. They've been doing tree planting, shrub removal, mowing, and the next 2 weeks they're doing a summary, like a site prep. They have to summarize how their year has gone as far as all the work that they're doing on the site and the success, like basically a monitoring report. So they're going to be working on that as well as doing some plantings. In other news on the Lomar, it is effective today. So, Bill, can I get a the golf clap?
How long have we been playing the course, though? I just want to know.
10 years.
It's been a while, but
10 years.
It's okay. Effective today.
Effective today. That means the folks that the last 20 or so residents along State Line in Hammond that have had to pay mandatory flood insurance as of today no longer have that requirement.
That is correct.
That's a good deal.
So, admittedly, when I contacted FEMA to check in and make sure, like, are there any appeals, are there any objections, are we okay? I was just holding my breath until she wrote me back and said,
well, yes. Until somebody tells me that that actually happened on their mortgage, I'm still holding that out. I'm sorry, but okay. I'm assuming all the paperwork is done and yeah. All of the different governmental entities, FEMA included?
Yes. Yeah, that was FEMA that I asked that question.
Okay. So, well, thank you for helping get that accomplished.
Well, thank you to all parties that was instrumental in getting that done. So it's greatly appreciated from everyone. The last piece that I had was regarding the 1,000-foot segment in Munster. So we did send the inspection report up to our...
Just to help with what that was. Is that the failure during
yes.
the event in February of the actual wall where water was coming
correct.
Through the wall? Okay.
That is correct. Sorry. So, just as a backstory for others that might not recall, we That segment was included in the basically the insurance program, and so basically you guys have a right to request assistance from the government. So that happened. You submitted a letter to us some time ago. We requested funds from our division office. They gave us funds to prepare a report. We prepared the report. We submitted them to them for review. They've had some comments, and so now we're incorporating their comments into the plan, and we'll be getting it back up to them shortly in anticipation of receiving money so we can prepare plans and specs for an award to do the repair.
Is that going to be in 2019? It's not going to be the same process that we just talked about, is it?
No.
Okay.
You mean like the Lomar process?
Yes. Hey.
No.
Okay.
I anticipate.
No to the 10 years.
No to the 10 years, and I anticipate it will be done in 2019, yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I have.
Any questions for Mrs. Mills?
Will the residents that are affected with the change in the status in Lomar, do the individual communities contact them so then when they get their mortgage bills and everything else, they don't have that additional cost burden?
Right. Dan, you know this process.
Yeah. The city sent out the letters to each individual affected landowner. And what, if there are any here, I would do is record that with the recorder's office so that it carries on their property. But yeah, I know when we had our O&M meeting today with the City of Hammond and Highland Minster, the City of Hammond notified them through the mayor's office as to the designation change and what to do with it.
So great. Thank
hopefully
you.
They followed it.
Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, moving right along. Other issues, new business.
Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion that we open up the licensing for this 75 acres property located at Grand Street, 35th Street, in Gary and
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Repe, can you explain what all that means, please?
Yeah, I'll try to do it without the microphone.
It's right there.
Well, I'm lazy.
Oh, okay.
So there was approximately 75 acres available at Chase and Grant, located adjacent to our levee, Grant and 35th Street. We put it out. There had been some unsolicited offers given to our office over the course of 2 years. We decided as a commission that we would advertise that and put that on LoopNet, which is commonly referred to most developers and folks in that business would look through. We also notified the folks that had submitted those unsolicited offers that this was the process that they needed to go through now, even though they had submitted in previous. So those would all be nullified. So this is the process now. The process included that they needed to submit those offers into us by today. And so with that being said, we received one offer with the conditions that we put on the advertisement. And so I guess Chairman or Commissioner Castellano's motion is for me to open this up. Because I don't know what it's
correct. That's so correct.
So anything to add, Mr. Wickram?
Well, I would say take it under advisement because obviously nobody's seen it. So that'll be less time to review it. Each commission will be given a copy.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second with that stipulation. Did we have to vote on that, Mr. Wickram?
Yes.
We did. Mrs. Lambert, I like having these votes. Yes.
What? Yes.
David
Hasselhoff. Yes.
Ron
Ware.
Yes.
Lovon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Hester. Yes. Drum roll.
Yeah. Looking for another apple. Maybe there's another box in it's from Tolman Development is where the offer comes from. So there's a bunch of language and about four pages. So
all right, so we're taking under advisement. Does he have to say anything for this Robert's Rule thing, Mr. Wicklund?
No.
No?
It's a simple motion to take under advisement.
Do we have to have another motion, or we did that with the last motion?
Was it included? I'm not sure if it was.
Was it included?
Yeah.
Sure it was.
Very good.
Are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Go ahead. You have a discussion or a question?
No.
Statements to the board from the floor. So my favorite portion is to come and help us do what we do. Come up to the microphone, let us know what's going on, and let's go from there.
Lori Zolno, Hammond, Indiana. This is my 10th anniversary.
I know you hate chocolate. I prefer chocolate. But I wasn't sure what you guys would like.
Thank you, Lori. I mean, the joke is Lori has come pretty regularly to the meetings since the flood to try to get this issue as it pertains to what goes on along the state line pushed through. And it's been a very arduous task. But she's been very diligent, and, congratulations. I respect that.
Well, diligence. Thank you, and I'm delighted that it's finally come to fruition. The only thing I can say is, while I appreciate it on my 10th anniversary, if we could have done it for the 5th, it would have been much nicer. But again, thank you for all your hard work. Natalie, thank you. I know at times we've been at odds.
Yeah.
It's not just you. I've gone through a couple of colonels. Some of them don't like me at all. I don't understand that.
Everybody brought the red tape. I thought that was a good one.
Did you like the red tape?
That was a good one.
I have one colonel that I'm sure is very unhappy with me, and it was before the red tape. But anyway, I'm delighted. I will reach out to my neighbors, make sure they all understand it is on them to go to their insurance companies. Prove this, make that insurance go away. They don't reach out to you. You have to reach out to them. I also always do encourage our neighbors to maintain that secondary insurance. It is less than a quarter of the cost of the insurance, and we do live by a river, and bad things can still occur.
Good point.
But thank you again, and I will definitely be continuing to come on Wednesdays. Maybe you just won't hear from me as often.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir. We have cupcakes, too.
We have a cup.
My name is Terry Stiegel. I'm a resident of Highland, and I'd like to address the commission on some things here as far as the land. I guess we've probably all seen the report lately that's come out about the climate change and the importance of making some major changes in our lifestyles before the year 2030. Otherwise, there could be some major impacts as far as the what happens to the weather patterns, as we're already seeing. We've already, I think, saw some of that materialize, and we've seen how it's changed things even around here. And it was just a recent study that showed that these changing patterns are even going to affect our tourism business, which is about $12 billion a year, I guess, and affects about 240,000 jobs. So we need to take this climate change thing seriously. And we need to, you know, be proactive in trying to do some things. Recently, NIPSCO made a major announcement, and they're going to get rid of their coal plants that basically have been killing us. And we've probably got 120 years of our forefathers have done a poor job of the environment. And if you look around Lake County and see how we've kind of poisoned ourselves, it's scary. So I think we need to be proactive in trying to do things that are going to lead us in a positive direction as far as the future development and all those things. So based on that, I think we need to, I know we just got a recent proposal tonight from Tobin Development for that 75 acres, and I think that we need to kind of put a halt on those things at this point. We need to make some determinations. if NIPSCO is going to be going through all these major changes, there's going to be a major demand for solar energy and solar farms. And these would be more compatible, I think, with the land that the Little Cam River Basin has. It would be compatible with the community, the purpose, and a positive direction for what's going on, which still allows for that property to kind of be a buffer for any kind of drainage, and also some things we could do in a positive way to maybe benefit the water quality that goes back into the Little Cayman River, because that's something that needs to be addressed too, that we've probably lost sight of down the road as far as the water quality in the Little Cayman River. So based on those things, I think, like I said, we need to take a serious look at this. I mean, you got some expertise on this commission on how to deal with some of these things, and jumping ahead of things too far with someone off that land that could maybe be more constructively used in a different way to benefit the public would be the way to go, instead of worrying about one private party maybe taking some land that we might need later on. And we need to work on some kind of feasibility study about how we should use that land. So it is, you know, so we have the proper use of the land for the future. And maybe that land just needs to stay the way it is. I mean, if you look at what's going on with the Star Plaza Theater, I mean, probably people probably never thought that they would be wanting to build a farm on their commercial development there. But they're looking down the future of what's going on, and the changing ways of what we have to do is a country and a world as far as how we even feed ourselves. I mean, there's even issues with that as far as how we produce food and feed our communities and all that. So that land is vital to our community going in the right direction in the future, and we definitely don't want to spoil it for the future. We've already got 120 years of disaster that we're paying for now. So based on that, I would hope that the commission would, at this point, hold off on accepting any bids for property there, and see what we can do to better analyze what needs to be done and do it in a way that we know is going to be positive for our community in the future. And let's keep in mind that this commission was set up for two things. A primary purpose was flood control, and the other purpose was to develop recreational opportunities on the Little Cayman River. So if we stay behind those two objectives, I think maybe we can go in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I remiss. I had something I was willing to share with you as well. The core office, our headquarters, just issued what's called the sponsor's guide to the Corps' levee safety program. Copy was, I believe, I don't know if copy was given to Dan earlier today. I do have copies available for you, and it's also available on our National Levee Database website. So I can give this to you to help explain the overall core inspection program and what we're looking at relating to the levees and everything associated with them.
That's great. And is there a possibility that can get linked on our website as well?
Yeah.
In case you really have trouble sleeping, right? Thank you. Oh, absolutely. I don't have trouble sleeping. Coolio. All right, anyone else? Once? Twice? All right, bring it back up here. Mr. Castellanos, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you. First of all, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving as we move forward. But also, I wanted to make a comment in regards to the last speaker. Recently, we had a program on WLTH Radio, and we were approached by the medical personnel in the city of Gary, Dr. Janet Seabrook, and she runs a company, she runs a clinic, couple of clinics called Community Health. And one of the things that her and Dr. Rutland, who is the commissioner of health for the city of Gary, wanted to grow food for the community. In order for folks to live much more healthy lives. On the program, they mentioned the fact that the number of people, because of the type of food they've been eating, that they've been dying is younger. And so they want to start some form of a program with the Little Calumet River Commission in order to find some property and engage with us as well as with other individuals to grow food for the total community and start to change the way that we eat. So those are some of the things that we did. And I hope that everybody gets a chance to listen to the program. It's the second Monday of every month, and it goes from 9 to 10. And we look forward to, hopefully, that you might listen in. Thank you.
Mr. Nimitz.
I just want to apologize for being late tonight. I'm sorry for not showing up on time.
That's okay. You're excused. I'd be amiss if I didn't wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks again.
Mr. Wyszulinski?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker?
I just want to wish everyone a happy and safe Thanksgiving as well. And glad we're having more conversation as it relates to not limited to watershed management, but also what we can do with the locations that we do have for recreation or economic development support, as well as conversation about our minority participation, which I think is a key part of economic development, especially when you're representing an economically depressed area, oppressed, depressed, whatever you want to call it. And it's one of the things I want to, whether we operate our homes or whether we're operating a budget, one of the key things that we all tend to have a tendency to do, of course, is there's a necessity to make sure that we have the right people lined up in the event that we have unforeseen events, which is what the board over there represents. And of course, over a period of time, you get to a point where you're able to manage it. You're able to manage it on a preventative scale, and then hopefully you get to a proactive scale. But you understand that you have your go-to people, and we want to get to a point where we're not in the go-to mode necessarily, so that we're not utilizing necessarily the same contractors that you wouldn't want to use at your house, because it's always going to come at a premium. But eventually we get to a point where, from a diversification standpoint of how we, and we are doing a much better job, and we're continuously doing a better job, it's continuous improvement, but not just limited to that, but also forecasting our routine maintenance and preventative maintenance, proactive maintenance, in a way that we also do it on a economic development scale with diverse participation. So I think those are some things that we have positioned ourselves to be able to strive for in coming to the point that we are, and look forward to us doing more going forward in the future. And again, happy Thanksgiving and safe wishes for everyone. Thank you.
Mr. Ware.
I guess on my behalf, best wishes to Commissioner Gosdecki, who's recovering from recent surgery. Along those lines, condolences to Director Repe Dan and his family. And I also would like to wish everyone a safe and happy Thanksgiving with your family.
Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
Everyone, thank you very much for helping us move this along. Next meeting is December 12th. Please check the website. If you'd like to get some emails, there's a sign-up sheet in there. Please help us continue to make sure that we do everything possible as a community to make sure the things that are on that board don't happen again while we draw a breath. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Second.
Thanks, about. Have a great holiday.